All right, welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Wade Gershner with you, joined now by Clark Fossler of Royals Authority. You can check it out, royalsauthority.com, as he's here to talk Royals baseball. We've had Clark on a few times before. We had you on, I think the last time was about World Series time, wasn't it, Clark?
It was. It was before Game 1, I believe.
Yeah, and that was a terrific series. Of course, it didn't end the way that we would have liked it. But it seems to me, Clark, correct me if I'm wrong, that the Royals have used that fuel of falling just short to really get them going this year.
It does seem that way. They always say baseball doesn't have a lot to do with momentum, but it seems like the Royals have carried the momentum from that postseason into this season. And maybe it's just a case of, you know, a lot of young players, you know, finally believing that they can play at this level and just playing baseball at this point.
Well, the Royals off to 11-4 start. They do lose last night to the Twins 3-0. We talk about that game for a moment. Jeremy Guthrie giving up 3 runs in the first, and he had an error, hit a batter, and after that it was kind of snooze fest the rest of the game. But the Royals offense, they've been shut out a couple times, but really the offense has maybe been a bit of a pleasant surprise.
Oh, I think definitely, especially, you know, the power numbers they put up early. And I don't know if that's sustainable, but it's a good sign that, you know, you have guys like Hosmer and Kane that are, you know, taking walks and getting on base, which is something they really didn't do a lot of last year. Which, you know, if you have some base runners, you're going to score more runs. Last night looked a lot like the middle of 2014, you know, a lot of singles and base runners, but no key hit. And that's going to come up. You know, this team isn't completely fixed, but the offense has certainly been a lot better, and Kendrys Morales, I would point out, has been way better than I thought he would be so far.
Well, the other thing, too, is the Royals have already had to deal with some injuries. Alex Rios out with the fractured hand. They hope to have him back maybe in about 4 weeks or so. Escobar had to miss a couple of games. More on that in a little bit. And Infante's been out, and yet the Royals have been able to just kind of pick up. Now Holland's on the DL. They've been able to overcome that.
They really have. I don't know that they could handle a lot more injuries, but the injuries have hit in spots where they've got depth. I mean, you could make a case that Omar Infante is the addition by subtraction, not being in the lineup the way he's been hitting lately. Colon has looked really pretty well at second base. They can absorb one outfielder going down, and, you know, in the bullpen, they can handle having one of their key guys go out because they're just so deep. You know, if Ryan Mattson is kind of your garbage guy, you're pretty good in the bullpen.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Johan Pino has come in after Holloway on the DL, and all he's done is put up scoreless baseball. The Royals really have an embarrassment of riches in the bullpen, don't they?
They do. I mean, you look at Chris Young. I mean, there's a guy that, you know, they basically have hanging around in case one of the starters goes down. And except for one inning where he was pitching the fourth inning of a game, he's been lights out, too. And Pino's been great. And there's no one that has been a disappointment out of that bullpen. I mean, frankly, Morales has pitched well when given an opportunity.
Luke Hochaver, he is down in the minors trying to build up his arm strength. And you almost sit here and go, I know there's going to be a place for Hochaver when they decide to bring him up. But who do you send down, or who do you have to let go?
Well, you do wonder that. I mean, I was at the game Monday night and talking to a couple friends, and I said, you know, somewhere in June or July, the Royals can trade a Mattson or a Young or whoever is kind of lost at the back of that bullpen. Hochaver may be one. For somebody, they're going to have a lot of guys, more guys that they can really use, you know, you knock wood on injury or someone, you know, blowing up. But right now, that they're so deep there, I kind of wonder where Hochaver fits in here, too. I would suppose Morales would be the guy to go down, but then you have no lefties. But as good as these guys are, I don't know that you care.
No, I'm with you. Clark Fossler of Royals Authority is with us. You read his work, royalsauthority.com, talk Royals baseball. So let's go back to the very dull and boring A's series for a moment. You know, this is my feeling. I don't know how you feel about it, but to me, I felt like this was all a gross overreaction by about everyone. It depends on your viewpoint. If you're a Royals fan, you bleed blue. You certainly think that Lurie had a dirty slide. If you're an A's fan, you think he was playing hard. It just depends on what color glasses you're looking through. I try to be objective as I can, although I am a Royals fan. And I can make an argument if Brett Lurie played for the Royals, this would be Royals fans totally saying what the A's are saying. And if the roles were reversed, that's what they'd be talking about. But the thing that I go back to is I don't think any of this would be that big of a deal at all if Kelvin Herrera didn't do anything in that eighth inning, or maybe if he just didn't point to his head. Even then, it might have been okay. But that seemed to really set off everything even more so when Herrera threw at Lurie in the eighth inning, and then when he pointed to his head and believe who you want about what he said or whatever, That seemed to, for to me, just put a lot more gas on the fire when I thought maybe this thing was over.
Oh, I agree 100% with what you're saying. I think this thing was over Saturday night, and then Kane gets hit, and I'm pretty sure that was unintentional. Kazmir didn't want to hit somebody in the first inning. It sure wasn't going to be Kane, who mm-hmm. hadn't been talking at all. And then you get into the eighth, and Herrera throws inside once and then comes inside again, and, you know, I don't care if it's the head or the hip or whatever. He probably shouldn't have been thrown in there at that point. And then pointing at the head, you just have to be smarter than that. No matter what he was saying, whether he was talking to himself or talking to Lori or whatever, you can't do that. And so, you know, I think his suspension was coming. That's warranted. And I think that ratcheted everything back up. You know, and, you know, let's not kid ourselves. Brett Lori is not a very well-liked person in the major leagues. He's been on three teams already, and he's 25 years old. Josh Reddick was talking. You know, everyone could have just kept their mouth shut, and this had all been over. But I think the Royals overreacted. I think Ventura and Herrera were standing up for Escobar. Escobar was still mad on Sunday. He got thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needed to step back and take a breath and relax. And you know, you just can't play baseball at that level of anger. You can play with an edge, but you can't be that angry all the time. It's going to burn you out. And the Royals just need to get back to playing baseball, which they've done basically against the Twins.
I think when I look at it long term, I've heard, well, first of all, I think there's been a gross overreaction in the media, too, in regards to, I've heard some sports talk show hosts and other people ever heard it nationally saying the Royals, and they've said the term bad boys. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is so over the top. They've been hit by 14 pitches, and they've only hit three. They haven't gotten into a brawl. I mean, yes, have they had enthusiasm, energy, passion? Maybe that rubs the other team wrong because they're, you know, playing kind of like playoff baseball, style baseball now early in the season. Won't get over it. Whatever you got to do to win. But to label this team after one series, or because Ventura kind of spouted off to Trout in the Angel series, I've heard, well, the Royals should wear black now because of the bad boys of baseball. I'm like, really? Really? Ventura did what any other team would have done. They hit the guy to stick up for his team. Okay, the next day, Kane gets hit. Yes, I agree with you. The Royals overreacted. Herrera, that's where everything went really haywire to me. But if the Herrera thing doesn't happen, the Royals did everything that most teams would have done. So why are we going to sit here and say that the bad boys? I know the bad boys. That's a Detroit Pistons basketball team. They were bad boys.
Oh, they were. Yeah, Bill Laimbeer doesn't see any problem with anything that happened this weekend in Kauffman Stadium. He thinks that's just playing ball.
He'd want more. He'd want more of it.
Yeah, I think you know, that's how the national media works. It's a good soundbite, you know, and it gets us attention. I don't mind it. It's kind of fun. I don't think they're the bad boys. I think by and large, on an individual level, they're all pretty well liked. I think they're all pretty decent guys. You know, I think a lot of this is the enthusiasm the Royals play with is a little different in baseball, and I don't know how baseball got to the culture where there was no enthusiasm, and you know, the act like you've been there. I say act like it matters,
right.
And it does. You got to care, and so I think it's fun, and I think baseball needs more of teams like the Royals that are excited when they hit home runs in the fifth inning in April. Every other sport, except maybe men's tennis, has emotion as the primary driver. I mean, look at football, look at basketball, hockey. That's all emotional driven. Baseball needs more emotion if it wants to compete and still remain popular. So yeah. I'm all for it. I like the rule.
No, I agree with you. It's interesting you just said the rule and there's rules. One thing that drives me nuts about baseball, I love the sport of baseball, but the whole unwritten rules thing is a joke. Because I've heard, well, Ventura should have thrown at Lori right off the start of the game instead of when he did. Well, he's automatically going to get tossed because he hit a guy after the guy ahead of him hit a home run. Where's that in the rule book? Because Jeff Shamarza hit Kane right after the Royals hit a home run. He wasn't tossed, so obviously that's not an automatic. I sit here and I look at these so-called unwritten rules, and it's all based on perception. I mean, the Hall of Fame pitchers that don't play anymore can't agree on it. John Smoltz says, oh, the Royals have been headhunting and this and that, and you got to make sure that you don't throw above the waist. And then Curt Schilling says, I have no problems with anything that happened. He's like, that's baseball. You know, it's just amazing to me how people will talk about these unwritten rules. I've heard, you don't bunt with a no-hitter. Why not? Your job's to get on base. As you just said, every game is important. Why is, if you are tied at the end of the season or one game out of the wild card, obviously, every game in April mattered just as much, right?
Oh, exactly. I mean, one of the things I've always hated about baseball, and baseball players say it all the time, it's just one of 162. There's always tomorrow. Well, that's all fine and good until you're a game out and the season's over.
Exactly.
And that one back in April that you said didn't matter, we always have tomorrow, makes a big difference. You know, and the problem with having a sport that is apparently ruled by a set of unwritten rules, everybody's unwritten rules are different.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the real problem. And it's all dumb. I mean, I can tell you, I mean, Don Drysdale would throw at everybody.
Yep.
Don Drysdale and Bob Gibson are two of the best pitchers in the history. They couldn't play. They couldn't pitch in modern baseball.
Nope.
They'd be kicked out of every game.
You're right.
You know, and that's, and, you know, if you talk to, and I've had the pleasure of talking to guys like Willie Wilson and John Mayberry, you talk to them, they're like, they had tremendous fights day after day on the baseball field that went on forever, and nobody got fined, nobody got suspended. A lot of that's because there wasn't Twitter. There wasn't, not every game was televised. You know, it all kind of happened, and the crowd saw it, and nobody else cared. And baseball took care of it itself. You know, they took care of it the next day. But the game's changed. The media's out there, and it's going to happen, and the unwritten rules probably need to be changed or just go away and, you know, just not worry about them. I mean, everybody has a different idea how they play, and if you don't like how a guy plays, that's okay. It doesn't mean it's wrong.
Isn't part of this, and I had somebody bring this up, because there's so much bravado. I mean, guys chirping from the dugout, that happens all the time. And then in this situation multiple times, and it happened in the Angel series too, where everybody comes out of the dugout, they talk, they point, they act like they're trying to be held back, and then there's the guys that come strolling out of the bullpen, and it's just such a charade and a farce. It's like, if you're gonna rumble, let's rumble. But the point that was brought by a good friend of mine, and I thought it was an excellent point, he said, you're just not going to see that happen very often anymore because of how much money is involved. A guy doesn't want to break his arm or his leg in a brawl at the pitcher's mound because there's so much money compared to the days that you talked about. It's just a different dynamic. Do you think he has a point?
Oh, I think so, too. I think guys are very cognizant of their future and their financial futures. Yeah, and you don't want to be Kendrys Morales and break your ankle jumping on home plate to celebrate.
Right.
I mean, look what it did to his career.
Yep.
I mean, and that wasn't a fight, but, you know, same sort of premise. I mean, these guys aren't going to come out and throw punches. I don't want Wade Davis in there throwing a big right-hand roundhouse at somebody and breaking his hand. You know, if I was a manager, I'd tell my pitchers, you guys never go out there. I mean, those are the guys you really have to worry about. I mean, I think the brawls are gone. I think, and part of it is all those guys know each other.
Yeah.
You know, 30 years ago, the Royals and the Tigers, they didn't know each other very well because people didn't get traded as much. There wasn't free agency, or maybe it's 40 years now. I might be dating myself. But, you know, the big brawls happen. You know, it's easier to fight a guy you don't know. It's going to be hard to go fight, you know, Billy Butler, who's your friend. You know, that's, times have changed in that respect, too.
No, I agree with you there. Okay, so let's talk about the suspension. Herrera gets 5 games. Doesn't seem to be that big a deal. He's going to appeal it. He might drop the appeal. They're going to try to, obviously, get Holland off the DL, and he might just take his medicine. Then again, maybe they'll take a game off of it. I don't know. A's talking about how he should have got more than 5. That would have been unprecedented because he didn't actually hit anybody. He missed. 5-game suspension. That seem about right?
I think that's probably fair, exactly for what you said. You know, he pointed at his head, so he needed to be suspended.
Yeah.
No matter what the reason was, he pointed. He didn't hit anybody. I believe I saw somewhere where there hadn't been a reliever suspended for more than 5 games ever. So I think that's fair. That you could translate that to 2 or 3 games. I think, like you said, he'll drop his suspension the day after Greg Holland comes off the DL, and the Royals will go about their business and not worry about it. I was a little surprised Ventura didn't get suspended, only because he picked a fight with Trout for bizarrely unknown reasons the week before. I thought they might give him the standard 5-game suspension, which is 1 for a starter. But I thought it was fairly fair. I thought, you know, you could have suspended Brett Laurie just to maybe calm everything down. But, you know, I don't know the last time someone was suspended for a hard slide, even if it was a dirty slide. So there wasn't really much precedent for that. I thought probably it was the best-case scenario for the Royals.
When I look at all this, I think, first of all, the Royals are under the skin of teams that are frustrated they can't beat them. The Angels, obviously, and the Royals swept them last year. The A's, I still think a little bit of this comes back all the way around to the wild card game last year. And you know what? It is frustrating when you go up against a team that can blue pit you to death. They can steal bases. Now they can hit the homer. And then they can shorten the game. And your starter doesn't even have to be great as long as it's a close game. And then you know that, hey, oh God, here comes HDH. Now you got Madsen, Hochhaver coming back. We better get our runs early. It's got to be frustrating as a team playing against the Royals. And that's why I enjoy this Royals team so much, because to me, they do play it the right way. And I think they have an edge to them, a chip on their shoulder, and it isn't affecting how they play.
Oh, I think that's right. I think this is a team that needs to be emotional to play, you know, just mainly because a lot of your key players are still young guys, and, you know, they like to play with emotion. I mean, Alex Gordon can be cool and calm and relaxed, and that's all fine. He's a veteran. He knows how to play. But I think Hosmer and Moustakas, I think it makes them better. I think it makes those relievers better. And I think they are frustrating to play against, because I think you go to the plate in the third inning with a guy on second, and you know I've got to score him, because the next time I come up, it's going to be Herrera.
Yeah.
There's an urgency there, and that gets you on edge. I mean, I think teams are edgy playing the Royals because it is a five-inning game maybe. You know, when they bring in Jason Frazier in the fourth or fifth inning to put out a fire, that's sometimes the end of the game right there, as far as the other team's offense is concerned.
No, you're right about that. And it certainly makes Ned Yost's job a lot easier when, you know, you can go to lots of different guys and put out those fires, as you mentioned. So the Royals are off to a great start. They're 11-4. I think the only concern I come out of the A's thing, and it's not a major concern, I think he's going to be just fine. But Yordan Ventura, you mentioned the instance with Trout and the Angels, and you mentioned the A's incident. And he, one thing I didn't think he needed to do was, you know, walk and kind of shoot his lip off at Lori after he hit him. He tried just stand there. Everybody knew it. Lori knew he was going to get hit, and he did. Do you have a lot of concern, or just a tiny bit of concern? Or are you not concerned at all about the demeanor of Ventura and how he can kind of get out of his game as the number one starter for the Royals?
Well, I think it's a minor concern. I mean, I think a lot of it is he's just got to grow up just a little bit. And, you know, who among us at 23 didn't need to do that?
Yeah.
And we didn't have $24 million. I think he'll be fine. I think maybe this might be a little bit of a blessing in disguise, a couple incidents where he let his mouth and his emotions get in the way, and he's come out of the game. And I think you just have to say, look, you're way better for us throwing seven or eight innings. You're going to make $100 million in your life if you throw seven innings as opposed to five and get kicked out. So I think it's maybe a learning experience, and hopefully it kind of evens out and he turns into the pitcher he was last year when he just went out there and threw. We didn't have these troubles with Yordano last year, so I think it's just a little bit of an emotional thing. He's feeling pretty confident in himself, as he should, and gotten a little carried away, and he'll pull it back enough. And you know, having Perez there, I mean, Perez is a calm, peacemaker kind of guy. I think that helps him. I think we'll get this under control, and we'll see the Ventura we saw last year.
Talking to Clark Fossler, RoyalsAuthority.com, talking Royals baseball. Do you, before the season, I'm guessing you probably thought Detroit, Kansas City, Cleveland, it's going to be a pretty good battle. Do you think that, I know early, it's only 15 games, do you think this is going to end up being a two-team race as it appears now, or do you think that this is going to come down to the wire in Cleveland, the White Sox, they're going to be a major factor?
I think one of Cleveland or Chicago will make a little bit of a run and at least get into the periphery of this race. Detroit's not going anywhere. I don't think the Royals are going anywhere. But I think one of those other two teams will jump up. Cleveland really seems to be struggling. They've got a lot of injuries. They've got a lot of stuff going on. It might be the White Sox. I mean, we'll have a lot better pitcher. The Royals play their next 17 games against Central Division foes, and we're going to know a lot more after that. But I think mostly it's going to be Detroit and Kansas City. I just, before I came on, I happened to do a little calculation. The Royals have gone 5-4 in their last nine games. If they do that for every nine-game period from here on forward, that's 91 wins.
Yeah.
With three games left over to play. So, you know, they're in pretty good shape, really, when you look at it that way. You play 500 ball, basically, and you can get to 90 wins. You're in great shape.
Before the season, we did our predictions. I said 84, 85 wins for the Royals, and then after we had Ryan Lefevre, the voice of the Royals, on, and we were talking with him, he was just so optimistic. And, I mean, Ryan was giving very, you know, he was backing up his claims, and he said, this was Ryan Lefevre saying this, and it really got my attention. He said, I think the Royals are better in many of these positions that they had to change. And he said, you know, obviously health's the key. But he said he believes the Royals are going to win the division and they'll have it wrapped up before the final series of the season when they go to Minnesota. And I was like, wow. Ryan doesn't make those types of comments and is that confident. He keeps talking about just the chemistry, that the team has identity, and these guys are going to get better. And when he said all that, I was like, wow, I got to look at this a little bit closer. I got to give the Royals a little bit more credit. And so far, he's proving to be right, because a lot of people picking the Royals to be third, fourth. Ah, it's a nice story. Great run. Basically saying it's a fluke, and the Royals trying to prove everybody wrong.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised I didn't hear him say that. I'm surprised he was that bold a prediction.
Yeah.
It's looking pretty good right now. I had the Royals at 86 wins, which I thought might have been a couple games optimistic, but, you know, now I do understand the identity, the chemistry deal. You know, chemistry in the sabermetric community scoffed at, you know, it's all numbers, it's all performance. There is something to be said for liking the guys you're playing with, for, you know, not being annoyed sitting in your locker by the guy next to you. And for knowing that the guys behind you are going to pick you up if you have a problem. So I think this team probably is a little better than maybe the numbers and the projections had them at. They certainly have played like it so far. And really, the one thing that people don't think about a lot, give it a lot of lip service, but it's what we just talked about. When you have a bullpen like this and you make the game a five-inning game or a six-inning game, your starters don't have to be great. And the Royals starters outside of Volquez have not been great this year. And it really hasn't caused a problem. And the bullpen hasn't even really been taxed. I mean, they've given guys a couple days off, but it's not one of those games where you're like, this starter's got to go seven innings or we don't have anybody to pitch. So I think this team has a real chance. Now, I think people underestimated what Detroit did. Detroit is suddenly a good defensive team. Not great, but good. And I heard Dave Dombrowski say that that was the best Detroit team he's ever fielded. So they're not going anywhere. I think this comes down to the last day, and frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if the Royals and Tigers are both sitting there with over 90 wins and battling it out day in, day out the whole summer.
Yeah, when you're talking about Detroit, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's where I was going to go next, is they have a starting rotation that's, I mean, really deep and just absolutely solid. Even though they lost Max Scherzer, they're fine. I mean, Sean Green was, I thought that was a good pickup for them. They got the Simon kid pitching really well. The question always is Detroit's bullpen. And then, like you said, the Royals can get away with their starters only go 5-5 1/3 because of the depth of the bullpen. I guess the question is, the Royals got beat to a pulp by Detroit last year. Detroit won 14 of the 18 meetings. If the Royals are going to win the division, they're going to have to obviously do better than that this year. I guess my question for you is Detroit maybe the toughest matchup for the Royals in all of baseball, or at least in the American League, because of the offensive power that they present, to where they could really expose the Royals starting pitching? And what I mean by that is, the bullpen's great, but if we get into the fifth or sixth inning, the Royals are down 5-2, it's kind of a moot point, isn't it?
Well, it sure is. I mean, let's look at last night. Jeremy Guthrie, you know, struggled with every pitch, gave up 3 runs in 5 innings to the Twins. If he's pitching like that against the Tigers, that's got to be 6 or 7 runs before they can even get him out of the game.
Yeah.
And the Tigers aren't going to gift him an attempted steal at home by a guy by an old guy, frankly. You know, that's going to be Cabrera up there, or Victor Martinez, and they're going to hurt you with guys on base. So yeah, the Tigers are, I mean, they're just playing good. I think they were a little bit in the Royals' head last year, like the Royals might have wanted to beat them a little too much. Mm-hmm. I think probably that goes away this year. I think the Royals are playing the same against everybody, well, except maybe Oakland. I think the mental part of it maybe is the Royals have gotten over the hump with their postseason success, but it's going to be tough. I mean, if you can split with the Tigers for the season series, that's good, because that's a good baseball team in Detroit.
No, you're absolutely right. And, of course, health is going to be a big part of it. And a former Royal that's now the closer right now for Detroit's off to a great start, and that makes Detroit certainly a tougher team to knock off. Okay, so you said your prediction for the season, 86 wins. Have you revised that prediction?
Yeah, I think 91 is where they're going to be. Okay. I think a 91-71, and I don't know that wins the division, but I think it gets you in the wild card at minimum.
And if you get a home wild card game, we know how crazy it was last year for that A's game. You would definitely want to be at home for that one game playoff to move on to the division series, as we saw how important it was a year ago. All right, time for the off-the-wall question, Clark, for you. And that is, have you ever been in a fight? Since all these guys are acting like they're going to fight, but they don't fight, have you ever been in a fight?
We actually had a mini brawl in a summer Legion game when I was in high school.
Whoa! So who started what here? Were you the retaliator, or were you the instigator, or were you just part of it?
I was part of it. My team was the instigator. We had a collision at home plate, and there was a slide rule then, and our guy on third leveled the opposing team's catcher, whose dad came out of the stands, and then the guy next to me in the bullpen smarted off to the dad, and it was on after that.
But you didn't get hurt, right?
No. I stayed on the edges. I shoved a couple guys. That was it.
You protected that $12 million arm, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I had a future to think about there.
Absolutely. A future in media. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell everybody where they can read your work and where you're at, okay?
You can catch us at RoyalsAuthority.com. Myself, Craig, and Aaron, we try and post something every weekday. Also follow me on Twitter. It's CFossRoyals, A-U-T-H. It's a long Twitter name, but whatever. That's where you can find us.
Fantastic. As always, we appreciate the time, and I'm sure we'll talk to you later on this season, and hopefully the Royals are still doing well, and thanks for your time today, Clark.
Thanks a lot, Wade. Thanks for having me on.
That's Clark Fossler of RoyalsAuthority.com on a Sports Ticket.